Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Soul King Count is called Red Self-Existing Moon, and it is the fourth day of the White World Bridger Wave Spell, and it is Crystal Moon Day 8. So I have that right. I always mess up what day it is in terms of the moons because I do not own a 13-moon calendar. And it is much harder to memorize the 13-moon calendar transitions than to follow the Zolk'in, which requires, I think, no wall calendar, no day book. You can easily track along with that calendar, but for some reason it's hard for me to keep track of June on top of the crystal moon's exact dates and also the Zolk'in. And the order of interest to me is Zolk'in, then 13 moon, then Gregorian calendar. So just know that I often screw up Gregorian dates as well. I just try to pay my bills on time. So let's start with the crystal moon, since that's the tripping point. What does it mean? What is a crystal moon? The basic reminder that we are dividing our 365-day year, which we're used to calling a year, meaning our Earth's journey around the sun, into 13 months instead of 12. And that's where the math, when you're comparing a Gregorian calendar with a 13-moon calendar, is just hard unless it's February of a not leap year. So you get kind of out of sync and confused and blah, blah, blah. I'm still making excuses, but we are in the crystal moon. We're just finished the first week in the east. We attracted our sort of magnetized slash fired up our minds. I mean, I would say that the 4 weeks of the 13 moons, each moon takes us through the four directions of the medicine wheel. Every time we rotate through the four directions of the medicine wheel, whether it's within a moon of 28 days, or a year that's red, white, or blue, or yellow, or a day that's red, white, blue, or yellow, or a wave spell that's red, white, blue, or yellow, or the quartets of wave spells that make up each of the, each rotation through the Zolk'in of four wave spells moves through the four directions. Anytime we're in the east, it's the beginning, the initiation of a cycle. Many people disregard the four-day cycle, red, white, blue, yellow, and even the four wave spell cycle. We space it out. You know, like, what? This wave spell is the third of four, and where was I at the beginning of these wave spells? I mean, that can feel hard to pin down unless you're writing about it. So instead, I think the one moment within natural time, which is the consolidation of these two main Mayan extant considerations of calendar cycles, the 13 moon count and the Zolk'in 260-day count, the moment where we really get to learn the four directions is within the moon, where we have a 7-day week in the east, followed by a 7-day week in the north, 7-day week in the west, and the 7-day week in the south. That's why I speak about it. And that's my biggest fixation in the moons as we pass through the moons, other than the obvious surrounding tone, the crystal tone that we're currently in. I break the moons down into the four different weeks and how they represent different stages in a cycle of evolution. A cycle of evolution is actually a revolution. So one revolution through the four directions will take us through these 4 weeks. And we just finished the week in the East, which means, again, there's this initiation of a process that exists within this 28 days. Within this moon, we've initiated a kind of purpose, an impulse, an idea fired up in our mind, because it is in the East, the place of the rising sun, where the day begins at dawn. And that fiery illumination of the sun rising is just like our mind when it perks up and begins to percolate, so that we can move towards ultimately a fulfillment, a manifestation. So we did that, and it was pretty fiery, you know? I like so much have tears and yearning in me. It's the phase of the revolution, the cultural revolution that started with COVID to a degree and took us into economic travail, and then this massive movement for justice. Like, I am in a place of yearning for resolution, and that's perfect because we are in the crystal moon, which is a time of resolution, and we cannot know at this point, day 8, what the resolution is that this moon is bringing. Certainly, because we just initiated the crystal moon, we can say, well, it looks like social justice is going to be part of what is resolving. But at the same time, it's the first year in a cycle of 13 years. So we've attracted our purpose in this magnetic year, which includes now a pandemic, authoritarian regimes, and economic collapse, and the need for racial equality. So there we go. That's our purpose moving into this 13-year cycle. And the resolution that we might find in this crystal moon is sort of what I just enumerated. Like, okay, so this first year, which starts the story of our 13-year cycle, is resolving with these, you know, 4. I just named 4. I might be missing one, or you might have a different way of interpreting the ideas that I presented, or you want to focus more on one aspect. But, you know, those are just maybe obvious, like, points of reference that came up this year that are, you know, we're just beginning the process of embracing how to ride out their volatility, how to unwind their tension. But this year will resolve kind of like, and so it was, and so it was the beginning, and this is what our beginning looked like. But we have to move through the rest of the 4 directions of this this 12th moon of 13 before we're really going to know. So again, I came on to podcast early. This is day 8 instead of day 9. Usually I would podcast on a Sunday. But I jumped in early because, first of all, I am on the verge of like a big cry. I feel super stressed out and devastated by the levels of conflict that exist in America. They might be other places, but that's where I am. And I might give an example of that in a minute. And then I just, you know, I don't think there are any easy solutions out there. But we haven't like finally arrived. You know, this is just a birth process at all. I think we're, you know, in the middle of a difficult pregnancy, and I know I can handle it being female, but I also feel that word yearning is just super strong in me. I feel a yearning, and, you know, it's a yearning for something that's either gone and it's a nostalgic wishfulness, or it's the kind of yearning that drives you forward to an arrival point, because if you didn't have the yearning, you would either give up or forget what was driving you towards change. And then I think that's all, you know, fits in really nicely to a red moon day, which is often a tear-filled day. Something about red moon shows us how liquid we are, because it is equating us to the waters of the world and how we are tidally influenced, just as the ocean is, and that the other waterways, such as rivers and lakes, they have their own kind of constant cyclical change. The tides in the ocean are really obvious. The turbulence of the ocean when it responds to wind or seismic activity and tidal fluctuation is obvious. In a river, there's seasonal fullness and seasonal receding. The rivers flow with gravity always, of course. And so that is a teaching that on a red moon day and a red moon wave spell and a red moon year, we're going to explore how to go with the flow downhill towards a collective lake or ocean. And then also evaporation, that things dry up sometimes from seasonal change, and then sometimes, well, again, the fire of the sun has power to turn water into another kind of element, aerated element of steam or cloud cover, and then there might be a rain. So all those cycles, in addition to the tides, are represented by a red moon day. And in our human experience, we know all of these from how our body is another body of water. So we evaporate, which means we get dried out. And, you know, I think that that's like, we get fired up and we get, the water in us seems to evaporate in terms of a mood, so that we have all this fire. And we have tidal fluctuations. We respond to the literal change in the moon, and we just respond to the bodies, the gravitational forces around us. You know, the humans in our midst change our mood just as if we were like planets transiting. And then this idea too of, you know, you can't go against gravity. A human can't fly. A human has to kind of go downhill in its own trajectory. And so this day releases a lot of emotion because we can't deny it for all these reasons I've described. You can't push yourself uphill. You can't control how hot it is around you. You can't get away from how you're influenced gravitationally. And these are all mood swings, mood changes that are offered. And in that place of not being static, controlled, still, you know, a rock, instead we're a liquid rather than a solid, we're going to have feelings, and they're expressed today. So the red moon is lots of things. And I just, wow, I just went pretty deep into all the things it could be. But I think I was trying to defend that it might be a day of crying because it's pretty menstrual, honestly. So from that place, I dragged myself sort of excitedly when I'm like, oh, I could podcast because that always makes me feel better. It doesn't always make me feel like I did a good job, but it always feels like, okay, I released a bunch of information that was trapped inside me. And I've chosen to do that today because I wanted you to know, not after the fact, that we're hitting another incredible, I mean, to me, maybe I'm being a little like, you know, exaggerative. I think it's incredible though. You know, a few days ago on Blue Lunar Hand, we had a day guided by Blue Lunar Storm, which was a way for you to imagine what Blue Lunar Storm the year is going to be like. Blue Lunar Storm the year is starting in soon. It's starting on July 26th. And in fact, it might have been 52 days. You know, it might be 52 days from 2 days ago. So it might be 50 days away. I'm not going to check that math right now, but that might be right. So we're going to start this year called Blue Lunar Storm, and things that happened on the day that we're going to call Thursday, it was Thursday, June 4th, I guess, would give you an insight. And I got it, man. I got some super awesome, clear as a bell signs and symbols in my life, synchronicities. And it made me laugh. It made me put that little Instagram post up. It made me ecstatic because they were so obvious and clear. Not what maybe is going to literally happen next year, but like, those are my themes. Those are my themes. There it is. Strong, strong themes. I get it. You're pointing me in these directions that I wondered about. That will be included in next year. Great. That'll be addressed. And then I wanted to talk about this day, red self-existing moon for a similar reason, in that this day guides the year that we're in, but I'm not talking about the 13 moon year, which would be the white magnetic wizard year that started July 26, 2019. I'm talking about the year we call 2020, which started January 1st. And that day was Red Self-Existing Skywalker. I talked about this last podcast. I think it's super relevant. I think it's super poetic. I didn't know all this connectivity it would have when the year began. I just remember still I was awake all night on January 1st, so I felt the Red Self-Existing Skywalker day come in, and I'm like, it's Obama's year. How did I not see that coming? Because I don't pay attention to the Gregorian New Year's. It's not my New Year's, but this year, 2020, if we were to name it from the Zolk'in, the same way we name our 13 moon year from the Zolk'in, this year, 2020, would be called Red Self-Existing Skywalker. It would be the year of Barack Obama. Every 52 years, it happens, so it's pretty infrequent. We might think, well, we had 8 years of Obama. We know what that's like, but we never had it when it was a Mayan truth. We never lived a year, not since 1968, actually, that was steeped in the energy of Barack Obama. I'll tell you that my year, I'm born on Blue Overtone Storm, my year for every 52 years was 1984. And it's actually, that's not fair. It was 1984, the latter half, and then 1985. And that's wrong. I know some of you are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. This is way too advanced. But my year, as in the natural time year, the 13 moon year that starts July 26, was 1984, 1985, from July to July. So I remember that year. I didn't know. I wasn't following the calendar. It was one of the most seminal years of my life, the most memorable years. I was at a Swiss boarding school. There were lots of aspects of it that were like being in the army. Like, it was not like memorable for fun, but it was indelible for struggle and triumph. It was in another world, Europe. It was incredibly magical for that. I am forever influenced by that year. And then later, in retrospect, I was like, oh, that was like home base for a year. That was when my life inside, my experience, my personal astrological makeup was disseminated over a year that we all occupied together unconsciously. So right now, if we, you know, Obama can never have a 13 moon year because he's not a red moon or a white wind, white wizard or a blue storm or a yellow seed, but he can have a Gregorian year, as can any red skywalker, white mirror, blue knight, or yellow star. So let me just name a couple of people that could have a year in a 52 year cycle. Bernie Sanders, yellow rhythmic star, he could have a year. And I can't think of anyone that you all know right this second. Let's say Red Skywalker, white mirror, blue knight. George Harrison is a blue knight. He could have a year. So I'm going to leave it there. Do you kind of get what I'm saying? A yellow star person, a Red Skywalker person, a white mirror person, and a blue knight person. You all get a Gregorian year. I feel like this is so interesting to me, and maybe not you. I'm so sorry. But we're in Obama's year, and today guides Obama. Anyone born on Red Self-Existing Skywalker is guided by Red Self-Existing Moon. That is what today is. So whatever leads Barack Obama, and as I always add, also Bill Clinton, also John McCain, they're all Red Self-Existing Skywalker, quote-unquote famous politicians. This thing that I just described about the moon and feelings, almost a feminine approach, a watery way of life that is infused with menstrual dimensionality, all those men were led by that. Which is cool, because they're men. And this year is seated in their energy field. It's the most dynamic political year we've had in, 52 years or what have you. it seems like that. Maybe we're all just super self-centered, but it's pretty dynamic, and I'm pretty optimistic about parts of it because it's a Red Solve Existing Skywalker year. But this day is an opportunity for each of you, because I'll do this myself, to see what drives this year, what's leading it, what lessons are leading it, what are we to learn already, halfway essentially in, about the demand and the drama of this year, and how can this day give us be a compass for us as we move into the next 6 months, because we're talking about a 12-month year. So I'm going to go ahead and honor the Gregorian disjointed count till we get to 2021, when we'll have an election behind us in the United States that impacts the whole globe. Where are we being directed? This day directs us. So listen and look and feel. Let me just now use the rest of the time to be more broad and traditional in terms of the Natural Time podcast and talk about the wave spell we're in, White World Bridger. I don't know that it's always as obvious in a World Bridger day that we want to make connections, but in the World Bridger people I know, they want to bridge worlds. Another word for that is networking, but World Bridger would be better. Like you could say, yeah, I really need to world bridge my new project or whatever. Like, let's just sub it out. Because I don't network. What does that mean? It's a net. Yeah, I get it. It's a net. It's a web. It's a trap. World Bridger, we're bridging worlds. So the people that are world bridgers want to bridge worlds here on Earth, because I don't think most of them are comfortable enough to be death shamans, like basically hospice workers from an ancient paradigm, ceremonialists for the dying. So instead, they want to make connections here on Earth. Joe Biden is one, Hillary Clinton. I mean, maybe you would disagree, but they're world bridgers and we're kind of in our politics phase here at Natural Time. In any case, we're in the World Bridger wave spell, and there is a lot of world bridging happening in the protest movement. And I think, you know, we talked last time about how the crystal moon began and everyone has to be gathered together like good Mayan disciples, you know, heavily unconsciously. People are like, it's the crystal moon, it's time of gathering, we all need to go be together, can't be isolated in quarantine, we got to be in crowds, we have to be together. And I think that is actually also compounded by the World Bridger moment, when perhaps isn't that people feel like a world bridger means that we all have to be smushed together in great crowds, but we need to reach across the aisle. And that really what the protest is, I'm going to use this from a personal experience. I wrote a confrontational letter to a friend who really hurt my feelings, and it was basically looked like a kiss off, like get the fuck out of my life if you're going to behave that way. Sorry, that was really strong language, but I'm trying to own that it was fiery. It was overtone storm. And I had really, you know, I had fielded quite a wounding from someone who was, you know, not in their right state of mind. So like they had some ownership to take. But I guess what I want to say about it is that the only reason I took such pains to show them how I felt they had not been in integrity or how they had hurt my feelings was because I was keeping the communication open. And that if I wasn't interested in knowing them, there would not have been any explanation of what I felt in response to their actions. And I could only send the letter once I realized that, like, this looks like a sharp reprimand or a confrontational self-defense of my, you know, own needs. But it's actually, you know, it's actually outreach. It's connection. It's communicating. It's sort of saying, like, this has to be overcome if we're going to be hanging out in any future time. But, you know, you're worth me laying it out for you. I want you to have the chance to know what I feel and to kind of repair this divisiveness between two people. And that's a, you know, pretty good metaphor for the whole fucking country and farther outward, other countries or whatever, wherever it's going on, where we've had this intruder coming in and emphasizing difference and dissonance. And so I've joined the radical movement of contempt for people of differing viewpoints. So it seems like this World Bridger moment of facing off, you know, different forces or belief systems in vocal confrontation, the protest, the resistance, is actually an effort to reconnect, which is kind of like, I don't want to be like, I'm no expert and I'm super, super introverted. I'm not comfortable being on the front lines of a resistance movement, although I will today, you know, be walking in the group in protest of some kind. But it's mostly to say, like, if you look at the pictures of people on the front lines facing police lines, you know, that's pretty connective. That's as close as most of us will get to a policeman with our hearts wide open. A wide open heart doesn't mean a loving embrace every time. A wide open heart can be a wide open heart to the plight of those who are denigrated and destroyed by an authoritarian regime. A wide open heart can be, I can no longer live with this much lying, you know, like the kind of deceit that this level of brutality represents. You know, that yearning I was speaking of earlier, it's painful, but it's a heart stretching to open and, you know, have appetites. So this World Bridger experience is both the death of old behaviors or death of quietude or death of acceptance of the status quo. It's all of that ending and the liberation and the opportunities that arrive from one ending, opening new doors. But it's also a pretty amazing and strident, you know, I want to say, like, the march is across this great division of differing belief systems. And like the side that we see, many of us as whatever progressive people see ourselves on, perhaps could be articulated as like, I'm not going to stand down and be kept in this corner. I'm crossing the divide to sort of meet the oppressor, and I'm going to look them straight in the eye and call them out on their behavior and see what happens. But, you know, really, since it's not a violent protest in that way, there isn't any vanquishing happening on this one side. And I'm not trying to get into like a dissection of what is going on in the particular protests we're having. I'm just saying that that's what it looks like when things are peaceful protests. It's filling in the gap and refusing to be absent and unseen. And yet that's connective, because there was a gap and now that's filling. So I think that's World Bridger stuff. And here's how I'm using life to teach me about the calendar, which you may not know, but I think is our focal impetus here. When we follow natural time, we are learning about the calendar from the days as they evolve. So I'm learning about White World Bridger, the wave spell, White World Bridger, the tribe, White World Bridger, the concept, the construct from the ancient Maya and Jose Arguelles and some of my own writings and other authors of the movement. I am learning how to add to that canon of knowledge from all those sources by what happens in my life during the World Bridger wave spell. During a red moon day, I am learning, have learned maybe in the past, and it informs how I teach here, I'm learning that I want to cry a lot when it's a red moon day. What is that about? Well, I guess, you know, my body is informing me about a Mayan teaching rather than even an ancient hieroglyph. So please go out into your days and live them fully. And then if you're interested, inform yourself about what the calendar cycles are. You know, be your own guru. Be the shaman, as we're all, you know, we're fixing ourselves on the sight line of shamanism in this 13-year cycle of the white wizard that just began. So trust yourself. I never tell you the name of my website. I feel like I assume that you know it. It's resonanttruth.com. Resonanttruth.com. And I offer readings and I sell some books and I post these podcasts there. So feel free to check it out. And you can look up birthdays on the decoder there. I do all the time. And I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In La Cache.